Hey everyone, and welcome back to The Perspective, a show where we tackle paranormal and supernatural claims, belief in aliens, conspiracy theories, and pretty much any other claim you want to bring our way. And before we start the show off, we do need callers right now. We have open lines. So if you have a ghost story, you've wanted to share, give us a call. If you have a favorite conspiracy theory, if you believe in God, anything, give us a call, 951-364-2430. Yeah, and yes, we even take calls on abortion and people who are pro-life versus pro-choice. So 951-364-2430. With that being said, welcome, Neil, SR. How you guys doing?
Well, doing good.
Yeah, I'm excited as always. It's been a while since Neil's been back on this awesome show, so it is great to have this guy here. And guys, I don't know if you know, but he's Neil the 604 Atheist. So, I mean, definitely, if you've got some Bible claims or something, I mean, we want to hear them. We love to,
yes.
You know, Bible, Quran, I mean, give it to us, guys. We are ready to listen, so.
Oh, yeah. I'm waiting for one of these other callers to get screened and then we'll get started. But Neil, you're going to be a Faithless Forum, aren't you?
I am. That is correct. Yes.
For those that don't know,
Faithless Forum, at least I hope so. We got to get on the plane first, right?
Yeah. It is like an atheist YouTuber convention where you get to meet a whole bunch of atheists who create YouTube content. I will be actually speaking. I don't know what I'll be talking about yet. I still got to figure that out, but I'll be speaking on something.
Maybe we can get together and do something, Ethan.
Yeah, definitely.
Because you know what I noticed is you and I are neck and neck in subscribers now.
Oh, we are?
Yeah,
we are. Ooh. All right, so we'll have this back and forth battle of who can who can keep the lead. No, hopefully we just keep rising together. That's the goal.
Yeah, exactly.
Or you guys could do a cage match for charity. Just throwing it out there. I mean, if you guys want to, that's just.
Neil's got like 6 inches on me. I think I'm good on that.
A few pounds too.
Yeah, a few pounds. Yeah.
Got a new T-shirt though. I kind of want to show off. You recognize this symbol?
Oh,
I don't.
The old Lego space guys, you know.
Oh like yeah, I love Lego.
Spaceship. Yeah, hell yeah.
So Neil, what have, I can't talk right now. I'm sorry. What do you got coming up on your channel?
What have I got coming up on my channel? Well, I've only got a couple of shows left and, until I'm back, obviously from Faithless Forum, the next show on Thursday, I believe I've got, hang on here. My memory sucks. Reason to Doubt will be my guest for, 5 PM on November 11th. And, one more, the Feasibilian Project. Will be my guest on Saturday, November 13th. Then all the way through till November 30th, I will be away at the Faithless Forum. I'm actually going down there for like 10 days. So I'm going to be there for the week, for the weekend for the Faithless Forum, a couple days beforehand. And then I'll be there for like the next week and I'll go home on the Friday, the 26th. So, it should be a lot of fun. That's what I did last time and just getting to hang out there and just chilling with the fam, you know?
And
so
getting to meet everyone.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, so you ready for me to bring up your first caller?
Yeah.
All right, sure.
Okay, so wants to discuss as a skeptic and has done some paranormal investigations. He has a show called Haunted the Truth. Your first caller's name is Mark. Mark, you're on with Neil and Secular Hello. Rarity.
Hey, Mark.
Hello.
What's going on, brother?
I'm all right, yeah. I'm doing fine, thanks. I'm assuming you're doing all right.
Yeah, well, doing pretty good.
Yeah.
What do you want to talk with us about today, man? It looks like looks like you've gone out there looking for some ghosts and stuff before.
Yeah, so I'm a paranormal investigator, and I started my own YouTube, which you mentioned just then, Haunted the Truth. Mm-hmm. And initially, we started it as a debunking show because I'm a skeptic, so I wanted to go out of my way and go right. No, it's this. No, it's that. Have a rational point and opinion, but we've been to a couple of locations and things have just gone off to a point where I can't think of like an instant rational reason. So I've seen objects fly literally fly through the air, and I've caught them on camera, and it's something that's really puzzled me.
Yeah, let me see if I can push back a little bit on this. This is one thing that's always really interests me about this stuff, right? It never seems to be the case that a ghost goes to your closet, puts on your nicest clothes, and then goes over to your computer and like types a message out on like a notepad or something, right? It's always like,
it's true, yeah.
Right. So it's always like, it's things that we've seen before. Like we've seen people talking about like chairs floating, or we've seen like, weird bumps in the night, or, lights flickering on and off. Like all of this stuff is old hat. I mean, right. We've had it happen before. What convinces you about these new experiences that you've had that are in the same vein like that?
I think it's like, well, when not, old houses and stuff, they creak when it gets dark at night,
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Electricity can play up, things can mess about, sure, and things like that, that sort of
especially
thing.
Especially if it's an old house.
I will just discount that. And especially with photography, people go, oh, that's an orb. I go, no, it's not, it's dust,
Right.
But I'll give you an example. I went to a place called Snuff Mills near where I live. On this bridge, walking down this bridge, middle of the dark, all of a sudden, from behind us, bump, 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 bump. And I'm talking like someone's physically running with Doc Martens on or something.
Yeah.
Spin round, no one there. Caught it on camera at the same time, this dark shadow flies off down the bridge. Now, I'm not going to sit here and claim and say, yes, that is evidence for life after death and that's a ghost. Because I can't, unless it forms in front of me and goes, hi, I'm Barry and I died here, I'm not going to do that. What I am going to say, though, is that there is something that is going on that I don't think science has fully looked into, which people may interpret as being the dead.
Yeah, I think. Go ahead, Neil, please.
I kind of want to know, like, if you figure that it is possible that there is some form of life after death, what exactly would be containing you? Like, what part of you survives your physical body? Like, what do you think survives your physical body?
Going through the research and such, some people would suggest that, energy isn't, it's not, it cannot be created nor destroyed.
Sure,
so,
yeah.
Some sort of energy source of you or your essence of you carries on. There's another theory that it's not actually something you can physically have a communication and talk with. It's some sort of playback, the stone tape theory, they call it. So this is like everything that's happened in life is just repeating itself over and over again. Kind of like if you record over a tape and play that tape back, you get old bits of that tape playing through, even though you've recorded over it.
Yeah, there's a police album.
If it was anything, it would be more like that rather than an actual physical being, because I'm yet to, have concrete evidence to suggest it is. If I get that sort of evidence, then I would want to ask, to be fair. I'd be, because I talked to like other people in my crew and everything, and they say no evidence is ever going to be enough, because you're always going to have another question of, right, okay, so that is someone's granddad.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. How? Right.
How is it?
Do you think has something to, the reason I ask is because, when you're talking about a spirit or the remnants of somebody that was once with us, call it whatever you want.
Yeah.
What, like, is there consciousness with them? Because as far as I know, as far as the laws of physics state, once you're gone, the consciousness is gone because it's generated in your brain. And once your brain dies, there's no more consciousness. So,
there is speculation on that. I'm not saying that this is my opinion, but I do research into a lot of this, and there's a lot of speculation on this. And there have been cases where people have basically, their heart stopped, they're on their deathbed. Yeah. In the hospital, and for some reason they get brought back, so technically their conscious should have shut down, but they can recall the things that the nurses were saying in the room, what they were doing.
Mark, can I push back a little bit?
Kind of a weird.
Well, let him finish first.
Well, because I think there's already something right there. I've heard this a lot, where people talk about these, you know, instances where, you know, somebody was floating above their body and then they could read a note or like a 10-digit number string that was placed on top of a cabinet or something. But those are apocryphal at best. Those stories, oftentimes people are confused and they say, well, somebody did this. And then when you look into the story, what you find is they put the numbers up there or they put the script up there, but nobody's ever been able to actually point back to it.
But give a right answer either.
Exactly. But instead, what
I always do find it is either they're lying completely or they're telling the truth. But I've never experienced astral projection in my life. So I can't, I'm not going to sit here and say that's real. I can only go off what I've seen and captured in my own footage.
So,
and I've started coming along with a theory that it's potentially some sort of dimensional breach and not spirits at all.
Sure.
Dimensional breach. I'm confused. Yeah. What do you think dimensions are?
Well, we live in a three-dimensional space, and there's obviously a theory that there's
fourth, four actually. Kind of we include time.
Infinite amount. So like tesseracts and stuff like that.
Sure. Yeah.
And I'm just like, what if there's, or if there's some sort of higher being, which is more intelligent than us, that can just shift into our dimension for a point second of a time, do something.
Would we ever notice that?
Shift out of it again.
Because if you think of, say,
you don't even notice it in that present moment. Mm. It's kind of like ants. Ants don't realize you're there until you put your finger in their nest. But then they don't go, oh, there's a house next to me.
Well, hang on a second, Mark. Let me see if I can kind of point back to something that you said a minute ago. And if I'm just way off page, man, no worries. I mean, correct us. That's what we're here for. But there was a point in time where you said you were kind of discussing this with some of your colleagues. And they made the statement that no evidence would ever be enough. Do you also feel that, like, there could never be enough evidence to indicate God or to indicate a soul or to indicate these other dimensions? Do you accept that, or do you think maybe there is some evidence that would be enough?
I think the only way to get evidence, so if, let's say we are all a scientific community, from our argument's sake, and we captured stuff, the only way to get the evidence is to have it act on a repetitive point. So I place down a bell, I say move the bell moves, we repeat that experiment three times, we've got a load of equipment set up and it does it three times. The problem is these sort of things don't respond when you want them to. Half the time there doesn't seem to be any intelligent responses. It's just random. It's
Do you feel like that's a problem?
I'll give you an example. I put a bell on a wall and it flew off a wall at me. That would be a massive problem to prove it within a scientific manner.
Yeah.
I think if anybody managed to do that, they would win a Nobel Prize.
No, for sure. They'd be famous worldwide. Do you think that's a problem for these types of, for not just these types of claims, but any claim, right? Like if I make the claim my car turns on and moves forward when I put the key in, turn it, and then push my foot down, and I test it once and it works, but then I test it a second time and it doesn't work, and then I give it to a buddy, and then they try it and it doesn't work. Do you think there's a problem with claims that don't have a potential to be repeated like this?
Oh, it's a difficult one, to be fair. Because obviously there are things out there in science which are very hard to get a constant, you know, yes, 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 although they still get it. It's more of a hypothesis before it becomes an actual fact.
Anything in particular you can think of? Maybe Neil and I mean, I'm not saying Neil or I are geniuses. I don't want to speak for Neil, but I'm at least half an idiot. So I don't know that I'll be able to. But
any the other half.
Higgs boson. The Higgs boson. Higgs boson, for example. Mm-hmm. They didn't know that was all. Yeah, there's this, you know, God particle, the Higgs boson. They built CERN and the proton accelerator, and they're trying to find this God particle. Yep. And eventually they found it. But before then, it was all being stuff through computational, so it was all
right. That's right. The math says it was there.
Computer,
right?
And I think what I'm doing is effectively the computational type thing, and going, this is happening, that's happening, but I can't get it to, you know, not once can I go right. It's very rare that I'll say do this and it will do something.
Sure.
And then I'm like, well, that could just be a coincidence.
Yeah.
And then it really annoys me because I've got a very, my mind is the type of mindset which like to figure things out. So when I can't put my finger on, okay, I've placed that on that wall, we've walked off, and I've asked it to fly off three or four times and it decides to do it now. Yeah. Like, I can't place my finger on what has actually caused that.
Yeah.
So once you've taken out the equation of, you know, wind and, you know, the normal things, it just becomes a big question mark. So initially, it's like, is there something? Yes. And now my question is, what is that something?
Yeah. Well,
it's okay to say, I don't know until we find out, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it.
Yeah. I'm not a fan of just claiming outright. Oh yeah. All right. That's going up there. Okay. It must be the death. This person.
Oh my God. It's Slimer from Ghostbusters.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think there's.
Yeah. I've had occasions.
Well, I think a lot of us, especially, you know, those of us that hang around at this great place or Neil's awesome channel or, you know, just other similar environments, I think a lot of us, we're not big fans of having to just, you know, close the paper and stamp it with a question mark and file the folder away for later review, you know, but we don't know, right? I mean, we really don't know one way or the other,
within the 21st century that they have actually discovered a black hole is real.
Yeah, we took a picture.
If you go
of
back
it, right?
Years ago, that was just all. Or is it? Before that, we didn't even know what the universe was. So,
yeah. Oh sure,
where science is now, I'm thinking, well, what else is there that they missed?
Sure. And I think there's always going to be more stuff out there for us to look at. But I think one thing for me that always is frustrating and potentially harmful is when we think there's an unknown, we think there's something new right around the corner, and we go ahead and tell people what it is. We say, hey, I can't see past these shadows, but I know exactly what's over there, and here's what it is. And not only that, but it cares about who you love, or it cares about, you know, words that you say, or you have to do X so that it can be pleased, so that you can get something even further into those shadows, right? Again, it's a bummer that we have to kind of just label stuff as a big, big box of who knows. But it is a lot of times just the most honest answer and the most true answer that we've got right now.
I'm never going to discount, because people do give out stories and they say my house is haunted and stuff like that. And there was a time that I'd be like, oh yeah, I'll get over, you're having me on. But now I can perfectly understand why, discounting all the fakers out there, of course, the people that are just out there to make money or just be popular.
Sure.
You mean like,
but there's
Hollywood.
People out there with genuine stories of genuine activity happening, and these things are happening, and I can understand why they're saying it's a ghost. I'm not saying it's not a ghost, but at the same time, I'm not saying that it is. I'm just saying I believe you.
Yeah. And okay.
In the sense that something's happening.
Yeah, and I think that's one thing for sure that Ethan, as well as this channel as a whole, I mean, we've always tried to come at stuff, you know, a little bit more charitably if possible, a little bit more, we'll sit down and listen to what you got to say. And, You know, we try not to just instantly, you know, you're a liar. How dare you? You know, you piece of, we try not to jump on that right away. Right. But like the other day, a friend of mine was talking to me about a story years ago. Like, we've been friends for a long time and I never knew he had a ghost encounter, you know, and I'm sitting there listening to him talk about this experience that he had at a public library in my area. And for a while in the story, I was just kind of like, oh man, this is like an interesting story, like no big deal. And then he just casually ended the whole thing by saying, yeah, and that's why I don't go back there. And I'm like, oh brother, you're not, oh dude, you're not, man, you don't think that ghost is trying to get you or something, do you? I mean, it's a library,
I'd
man.
I'd be the opposite. I'd be going, we need to go back in there, like, set everything up, right?
Just so you know, Mark, if you were in a horror movie, you would be one of the first people to die. That type of attitude is always,
I climbed the tower the other day without a barrier, and my mate was like, don't do any shout, like, don't do any, like, calling out for anything that might be there. Because I do, you know, I throw it out there when I'm at places. I say, oh, is this, you know, supposedly, let's say, the last place was Sally. She got murdered there or something. She was a gypsy girl and she apparently haunted the woods. So I will go, is this Sally? Just in case it is Sally. And my mate was like, don't say, is this Sally when going up there? Because if it is Sally and it's real, she's chucking you off and you're dead. So I know exactly what you're saying.
Yeah. I mean, I've heard people say that too. Like, don't do the, what is it? You look in the mirror and you get the lights off. You say Bloody Mary times.
I've done that.
Yeah, yeah. Spin around three times, say Candyman or whatever the hell it is. But I think, like I was saying, you know, with the story of my buddy, he doesn't go back to this library now because 5 years ago he thought a ghost was in the section or something. I think a lot
it scares
of time
people though, and sometimes people don't want to accept there's something going on because it scares them.
Sure. And
because they don't know what it is.
Yeah. And I think a lot of times too, we don't want to investigate further because honestly, we're just comfortable with the answer that we've gotten. Complacency is a huge problem for humans, it seems. When we get super, super chill about our routine, when we get super, super ingrained in our rut and we just keep doing it day in and day, you know, I've been waking up, you know, middle of the night to pray for years now. I why would I stop? You know, I think that can also play a part in it too. And I think it's awesome that there are more and more people out there doing paranormal investigation and those types of, you know, avenues that are coming at it from a skeptical lens and are trying to say, look, we're just going to let the chips fall where they fall. And if they fall on ghost, well, it's a ghost. But if they don't, then we're not going to make that claim. We're not going to try to tell people that it is.
Yeah, yeah. But there are some which are just outright claiming as well, though, on the other foot. The I don't know how it is in the States, especially in the southern areas.
We got our shysters.
You might have listeners. But there are people which are like, when I was traveling through New Orleans, I got told to not mention God or anything with my paranormal stuff because I could end up creating a bit of a frenzy.
Sure.
So there are people out there which anything, they will literally react to everything and anything. So something will make a little creak and they go, oh, did you hear that? Whereas I'll hear a creak and I'll go, right, what's over there? Is there anything that's causing the creak? No, there isn't. Can you do the creak again for me, please? And then if it does it again, I kind of like, oh God, yep, it's done it again, right. But there is also a degree of adrenaline. So when you are going into these, you know, old houses or creepy woods and stuff, and you start hearing things like this, and as soon as you realize, oh, hang on, something's going on, you start getting it's like a sort of like an adrenaline addiction.
Yeah. And let me just real quick jump in, Mark, just to say, hey folks out there watching, I I can't see you right now, but you can see me. And there's one really easy thing you can do, and it's call the number on the screen. It's a very simple number. It's 951-364-2430. Just get your phone, smash it up to your face, and just call us and have a nice, fun chat like Mark is right now with us. Mark, do you think we have to worry more about God or ghosts? Do you think, which one do you think is more, just kind of picking your brain? I'm just interested. It just came to my mind. So
I've seen more, I don't want to use the word evidence, but more things that you see in all these movies like Insidious and things like that. I've seen more that relate to that that I have from God. Mm. So I've not seen why can I tell like something that's supposedly dead to do something and it does it, but I can say, call out to God and say, oh, can you move that bell for me? And he doesn't.
You heard it here first,
that's
folks.
Never happened.
More evidence for ghosts than God. That's you heard happened. It here.
Well, how do you know one of those ghosts wasn't the Holy Spirit?
I don't know.
But I don't know. And then there's obviously so many different variations of God. So, you know, you've got Yahweh, you've got Allah, you've got, then you've got the Hindus like Vishnu. And there is an interesting thing, though, which that there is, this is what, there's some which is like different religions around. They, even though they're in different areas of the world, so I'm talking dating back to like, you know, the Greeks, the Roman, like, and the Egyptians, the Babylonians, the etc. I can't think of them off the top of my head. Some of them have very big like similarities. And it's like, well, that's kind of interesting that this person over there and that person over there has never met each other before, has exactly the same play out that's going on. Different names, but the same stuff. That I'm not saying that is an evidence of God. I'm just saying it's kind of interesting.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Sure. Neil, it looks like you got something to say, man.
Before we wrap this call up,
yeah.
Something to consider. Because, I mean, if these ghosts are real, they would have to represent the person they once were, right? So they might look like them if they were an apparition or whatever, and probably have their personality, right? Sort of thing. So that would require the consciousness to be there. And as far as we can tell, for the everyday physics, like of everyday physics of everyday life, I should say, consciousness at the very basic level is really just a series of atoms and electrons that essentially give us our mind.
Indeed.
Okay. So, there's no way within those laws to allow for the information stored in our brains to persist after we die.
Yeah. I mean, it seems to be the case. I'm no neuroscientist. Yeah,
it would have to be something else.
Right. And who knows? You might be right. We might not have the technology to investigate that. And who knows? Maybe someday it will come and we'll like, holy shit, there is an afterlife. But, you know, for now, we don't see any actual demonstrable signs of it.
Experiences on this as well, where people have died.
I've had experiences too, but learning what I've learned since those times, I've kind of put them off as, you know, our brains trick us literally all day, every day. Our brains fuck with us. So it could be something that comes from your own mind too. And don't forget that a lot of, things pop culture, you name it.
I film everything.
That's good.
I film everything.
I bought a camera to ghost hunt too.
My brain. So if I'm filming something and something moves and I go, wait, did I, you know, what am I, you know, have I been smoking cement? You know what I mean? Like if something moves,
well, I can help
you. And then I look at the camera and I go, yeah, it did move. It actually did move. There it is moving. Or if something goes, because I've had voices and stuff as well. Like we've heard stuff being like going and stuff like that. And I've gone, right, what was that? And then I've gone home, played it back on the camera, and I'm now going, that really was there. So I trust in my camera more than I do my eyes and ears.
Sure, sure.
Yeah.
Can I ask you a quick question on that though, Mark?
Yeah.
Have you heard about the psychological phenomenon of priming?
Go on.
So basically
I don't know if I have, but
just the idea that, like, before I, you know, finish my speech and ask you whether you want spaghetti, like, I show you just like pictures of spaghetti throughout the day, and then I say, hey, what do you want for dinner? And you go, I don't know why, but I kind of want spaghetti.
Of course, but the type of thing that Darren Brown does.
Exactly. Is it possible that in that moment when you heard that noise live with your camera there, that your brain said, hey, that's what this sound is? And when you went back, you actually heard the sound just slightly differently to kind of match what you remembered. Like, maybe it was really just a bird chirping, but it's such a weird chirp.
Yeah,
you see where I'm going?
Regarding sounds, there always is the, you know, the, well, because especially outdoors, is there an animal? And then I go, well, it's nighttime. I've even called the zoo and gone, is an animal chucking rocks at me? Like, it sounds mad, but I'm trying to investigate every avenue.
Yeah.
But I think one of the weirdest ones I've ever had was in somebody's house, and I was sat on the stairs, and clear as day, right next to me, it went, and I'm there looking at my mate. He's looking at me. There's no one else in the house. It's 2 a.m. and I'm like,
there's an alarm of some
like,
kind.
That's undisputable. There was a whistle in the air, and we weren't expecting a whistle. We weren't asking for a whistle. It just happened.
Sure.
Right. But could it have been something like an alarm of some sort?
That's a good point.
No, I did ask the, funny enough, I asked the owners, have you got anything like a cuckoo clock or anything upstairs that can create this whistle? It was a proper tune. It wasn't the first time I did it. It did it a couple of, another time in the night as well. Different tune altogether. I don't know.
Yeah.
One thing I've not been able to pin down is that sound. I've not been able to go, oh, it might have been that. And then when it's objects, so like my bell, when I put that on the bridge, that just comes flying off the bridge, and my camera like it's there one scene, and then the next is off. The stones, literally, my mate was stood in the middle of the bridge on his own, and a stone comes down the bridge and hits him square in the face. There's no one else down there. How does that come off the ground and hit him in the face at pace to cause a red mark?
Yeah,
like that. It doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, but that's
I know there's nothing easy to explain that.
Sure. But that's always one of the biggest problems.
I'm always out there to take like offers like, okay guys, what do you think that is? And I will listen to people and they will say this, that, and I go, no, I've tried that, I've thought about that, I've done that.
Have you ever heard something called the problem of underdetermination?
I don't believe I have.
The problem of underdetermination is basically just a simple concept when it comes to us trying to ascribe a conclusion to some set of events. So we see something happen and we say, well, maybe it's this. The problem is there's always an infinite amount of things that it could be, right? It could always be something else. And that's why we need that positive indication that says, it can only be this right here. And that's what I think it sounds like you're going for in these investigations, which is really valuable and is really the way that we should come to conclusions. If we're willing to stand and say, this is what it is, we need that positive indication, you know?
Yeah. In the moment now, I kind of have to just go, right, that happened. I'm trying to repeat. Once or twice. If it doesn't, then it doesn't.
Yeah.
Because otherwise, at the beginning, I just started going, like, driving myself crazy, like losing sleep over just thinking about, you know, probabilities of stuff. And so I think to a degree, you have to go, that's happened. Right. Let's go to the next place, see what we get there. see if something similar happens.
Yeah, exactly.
Well,
the stories that these guys have got are just insane. Like, you know, people going around there, like grandchildren, they're just in the kitchen and in the bowl of fruit and orange, just come out of the bowl of fruit and just hit the grandchild in the side of the face. You know, it's the stuff that you would hear a producer putting together for a horror movie.
Sure.
It's insanity.
Well, Mark,
and if you try and dive into it too much and think about it too much, you will go insane.
Well, Mark, here I'm gonna offer you something, man. I don't know if you're up to it, but this awesome show happens every Tuesday at 7 p.m. Same great channel, same great place. Why don't you give us a call back next week or the week after and tell us some of those other stories, man?
Yeah, it'd be cool.
I could do. Obviously I'm in the UK, so I need to keep an eye on the cost.
It's a bit of a time zone thing for sure. But Neil, you got one more thing before we let Mark go?
One more thing to consider, Mark. Don't forget that if life continued in some capacity after death, the quantum field would have revealed spirit particles or spirit forces by now. We would have found them because nothing gets past the quantum fields.
That's true. That's a good point.
Well, we're starting to go into quantum physics, you know.
I don't know a whole lot about it, but I know
people.
A little bit.
People say, how long have we got?
Yeah.
say, oh, if a tree falls in a forest and there's no one there to hear it, doesn't make any sound. And I say, well, if a tree falls in the forest and there's no one there to see it, has the tree even fallen?
Who the hell knocked it over?
Crazy. Yeah. And then there's dark energy and dark matter as well, which they've only just found. And it's like, yeah, we've suddenly got this new energies. And I'm like,
they haven't found it, but there's evidence of it based on reactions and stuff going on.
Yeah, in a similar fashion that there's evidence of something moving a stone off the floor. But I don't think it's dark energy and dark matter that's doing that. They've got about as much evidence on that as what I have of objects flying.
Well, before we go down that rabbit trail, before we go down too far there, Mark, like I said, man, we greatly appreciate your call tonight.
Yeah, good to chat with you.
Hang back with us. Come see us again. I know, again, it's crazy time zone. It's stupid.
I hope I'm
o'clock.
Here when you call.
Yeah, it's way late over there. Go get some rest, and thank you so much for calling us.
No worries. Could I just say one thing?
Yeah, finish up.
Well, that depends.
So if anybody is interested in actually checking out, you know, some of the places and things that I had mentioned, you can just hop over to hauntedthetruth.co.uk. And I'm not outright skeptic on it. I'm not going, this is all fake. I'm trying to take a bit of a seat.
Open mind.
I'm on the fence. I'm on the fence.
That's good. So, that's good. We like that. We like that here.
Have a gander.
But Mark, always be critical.
Anyway, guys, thank you.
Awesome, Mark. You have a good one. So, Neil, like, I got a question. If a quantum tree falls in a quantum forest, does anybody know what the hell we're talking about?
No, it's too small. Unless you've got the equipment to see it, then no, you're just kind of screwed.
Well, good, man. Good. I got to say, while I'm not the person that's going to go out looking for ghosts on a regular basis, I am kind of glad when there are people that are doing it, especially when they come at it with a skeptical and kind of a scientific mind. It sounded like Mark was coming at, you know?
Yeah.
I'd love to find ghosts. I haven't seen any evidence.
Well, I put out a few ghost traps. They have yet to, you know, get caught in them. So
Let me know. Have your people call my people. We'll figure
my ghosts call your ghosts.
That's right. Well, we have some other awesome calls. By the way, there is still time. 951-364-2430. The number's on the screen. The number can be found in the chat and the description below. I think they can find your awesome channel in the description or in the chat too, Neil. So if you haven't liked and subscribed lately over there, go check out Neil's stuff. But Neil, what do you think about the flat Earth, man? You think the Earth is flat? Yes or no? I'm thinking no, but our caller Pedro is going to have a great talk with us, I think.
Oh, boy.
Pedro, are you there, man?
Hey, how's it going, guys? I am here.
Great. Thank you, Peter. We are glad to have you on. It sounds like you have a couple of thoughts on space and the Earth, and we love to hear it, man. What do you got for us?
Yeah, that's correct. Before we start, I just want to give a shout out to Ethan Michaels. Such a great dude. Thank you for always having me.
I agree.
Yeah, he's got you fooled. I mean, yeah, Ethan's awesome.
It's those shirts. That's what does it. It tricks everybody.
Yeah.
But Pedro, what's up, man? What do you want to talk about?
Okay. So I guess I'll start off with I'll go with the whole space. I'll lean towards the space situation where I think it's fraudulent. Everything that they tell us about space, like
what satellites, makes you think that?
Meteorites. Space, planet, the moon, all that is just, you know, it's not what they're telling us.
I have a piece of meteorite.
So
the thing about meteorites, mm-hmm. So if you notice, like if you're standing and you drop a basketball, it falls straight down. So why is it that when you see meteorites in the sky, they're flying parallel to the Earth? They're never falling straight down.
Because that's how they enter enter the atmosphere. They were coming at us from an angle to begin with.
Yeah, but why is it always at an angle parallel, like an equal sign to the
always
Earth?
Parallel.
Instead of running straight down, you drop a ball down.
Like well, it isn't always parallel. Pedro, hang on just a second. Again, I don't think either Neil or I, you're not Neil deGrasse Tyson, right? That's not you, Neil?
That's
okay.
A different Neil.
Okay. Just make it sure. But neither Neil or I are physicists or anything. But you're a chemist, right?
Well, yeah, I'm a chemist, yes.
Okay, so not a physicist. Calm down. But I think both of us have a decent enough understanding on this. Like, for instance, one thing I could say is that, like, you know, your basketball doesn't fall perfectly straight, right? It just kind of looks like that because of
your perspective.
Yes. Ooh, the name of the show. And the same thing is true for those meteorites and stuff, man. It's not actually perfectly parallel to the ground. It just kind of looks like that because you're a little dot on a massive, massive, massive ball. Mm-hmm. Does that kind of make sense or?
Well, I mean, I understand what you're trying to say, but at the same time, it just doesn't really make sense because, like, I gave the perfect example as, like, if you drop a basketball or you shoot something up, it falls straight down. It never falls parallel to the Earth.
But
I do understand that maybe sometimes I'm just playing along. Sometimes meteorites, you could say that they do fall out of at an angle. But
they always do. Usually,
every season fall straight down. You know, that's just kind of like sketchy. And
why?
Another thing about meteorites,
but it's got momentum and
because,
velocity.
Yeah.
It's, you know, it's
it's sketchy because it goes against physics. You know, like
if I
drop a pen, it falls straight down.
But Pedro,
so anything that will enter Earth,
But hang on, brother. Remember what I just said real quickly right at the beginning, which is it doesn't. You're saying it falls straight down, directly straight. The vector is unchanged.
Right.
Boom. And that we know that's not true. Like even just based on like me saying if I just said like, well, what about like air resistance? And like if I drop a piece of paper, it doesn't fall straight down, right? It kind of goes back and forth and back and forth.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
Well, because you can't compare a piece of paper to a piece of rock. It's like two different buoyancies.
You don't think a rock experiences that resistance when it's traveling through the air, just like a piece of paper does?
It does, but it's got more mass.
Of course.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
But it's more dense. It's more
compact. It's more mass.
Even if there is more stuff crammed into it, right? Because I know that's what mass actually is. It's actually an amount of the material. But even with a greater mass like that, it's still going to be affected by that resistance. It's still going to have that friction. It's still ultimately going to be acted on by a lot of different, like when we do physics equations and stuff, and we like we take a like little Timmy standing on one side of the picture and he throws the ball and we say, well, the arc of the throw was exactly 14 feet high. And Timmy, how far? When we do that, we often just say like, yeah, 9.8 meters per second squared directly down. But that's only because we're thinking about it on a localized setting. We're not actually taking into account like the full picture because it would just take too long, right? It's like every individual spot on a curve is actually just a straight line. I know it doesn't seem like that.
Towards the center.
Right. And so if we're really, really tiny, which, you know, according to the whole the Earth is a ball thing, we are, and the Earth is like massive, which again, like, probably is.
It is.
we would only ever see that one tiny little perspective, right? You see what I'm saying, man?
Yeah, I get it, but I still hold strong in my belief how like meteorites are just like non-existent, as well as like, because
I have,
for example, like there's cameras everywhere, like everywhere. Yeah. Why don't cameras ever catch a meteorite hit like a school or like an amusement park or like a movie theater?
It does happen.
Like they like a McDonald's. They just never hit nothing. Like
a meteorite fell into a lady's kitchen just like a handful of months ago in a state out west.
Two and a half months ago.
Yeah. It just like fell right through her house. I mean, she was lucky.
Yeah.
She didn't get hurt. I mean, it does. Uh-huh. It happens all the time.
I just don't believe that anything that comes out in the news, I feel that has already been scripted, you know, like false flag events, and they got to keep these events
false
going in order to
what?
Like brainwash people. Because like I said, like most of these meteorites that they catch, like they catch them flying parallel to the Earth, like just never straight down, which is kind of off. It's just weird.
What would be the
some
purpose?
Some of them do go parallel because they pass us.
Right. And what would be the purpose, Pedro, of... Like, what's the end goal here? Let's say for just a second, there is a shadowy cabal drinking the whiskey and smoking the big cigars, and they are lying to us. They are lying to us about meteorites. Why? What is their goal? What do they get out of it?
Well, their goal is to put all these small pieces together. Like, for example, like another piece that goes with meteorites is like the whole ISS, the International Space Station. Like these space agencies, they could barely launch people on rockets, you know, but people forget to think like how in the world did they fit enough walls and material and metal and screws and all this stuff to build a mansion up in space. And there's no footage of it. You know, they could barely fit people in these rockets. What makes you think that they could like build the whole mansion up there? And it's not like they stuck a mansion in a rocket and shot it up there. Like it must have taken multiple trips, but it's literally impossible. And there's no footage of it.
Real quick, Pedro. How are you calling into us? Just real quick. How are you calling us right now? How are you speaking to us? Is it by cell phone or by the internet?
Well, by cell phone.
So you know there are satellites up there that are taking care of that for you, right? Like there's a box up in space that like beams down electricity and like wavy stuff. Again, I'm no physicist, but it beams down science magic.
Wavy
and
stuff.
Then your science magic phone box thing catches that super reliably. Like we could do that all the time. Like why couldn't they just put a bigger satellite into space?
Well, the thing with like cell phone service, it's done by cell phone towers, and basically there's cell phone towers everywhere, and when it comes to connection, they have a giant optic fiber cables running all across the ocean. It's all been
mapped out, but we haven't always, and there are definitely lots and
satellite
lots of
phones.
There's definitely lots and lots of things that we use. We use satellite technology for and other look,
there's your weather app there.
Yeah, when we went to the moon a long time ago, they put this
satellite
little box
information right there.
Yeah, see, and it updates regularly. And if he were to like travel
satellite,
yep,
the satellites that most people think of is not really what they think they are. Like, for example, people think that they launch satellites like in rockets, but in reality, they just tie them up with giant helium balloons.
Oh, no, and they just float in our atmosphere.
It's not really that they're being launched into space. And
hang on, hang on just a second, Pedro. Hang on just a second for us. Yeah, Neil, you want to go ahead and take that one?
Sure. Okay. A lot of what the you remember, like what do you call them? The old ships that we used to launch that they're no longer in commission.
The shuttles.
Yes, the shuttles.
Yeah. The shuttles.
They were used quite often for putting satellites in orbit.
And also, I would just say that the thing that you're referencing, while there is some basis in truth to that, Facebook actually has done this in a lot of different places around the world that are harder to reach with towers and satellites and so forth. Because like we're so good with satellites, like we can shoot them up into space and we can just tell them to stay put. And just like a well-trained Rottweiler, it will sit there. It's amazing. But like there definitely is a way we figured this out, which is just a fantastic feat of human achievement where, yeah, we can just put these, again, just smart sciencey magic boxes. That's the way I see them, on weather balloons, and then just let them float up into high. We can do this. We've done that. Facebook has done this. They have created.
I get that, but that's not satellites.
No, right. No. Those are not. They are totally separate things. They are totally separate. But technically, yes, those weather balloons can allow people to access the internet. But those aren't what we're talking about when we say satellites.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And then also when it comes to satellites, if you try to Google an image of a satellite, there's never a real picture. They're all just like cartoonish, CGI photographs. You know what I'm saying? Like, there's nothing real about it. It's not just if you want to believe in that, it's like you're believing in cartoons.
It's not a belief. There are satellites. They are factually in space. Mm-hmm. And every image you see on the internet is a CGI image because the computer has to generate that image, including me and Secularity right here. We are. Yeah. Computer-generated images that you're seeing right now, but I'm real,
right?
Yeah,
and
yeah, but what I mean by CGI is that there were for example, like they were done, like they don't exist, and they were just like modified and created in a program to look real.
So, would you say that? Have you seen that famous photo of like? Another great Neil. Gosh, we're just talking about all the Neils tonight. But another great Neil, Mr. Armstrong, that photo of him like standing supposedly, let's say, on the moon. What do you say to the experts that say there's literally no way whatsoever, like not even a chance of a possibility that photo could have been recreated? What do you say to that?
Well, when it comes to whole like Neil Armstrong and like the moon landing, I don't believe in it whatsoever. It's super Hollywood to me because there's footage of like the shuttle arriving there, and I was like, how did the camera get there before the shuttle?
But
you know what I'm saying, like, it's
but hang hilarious. On, but hang on, hang on, hang on. And we then, can talk about hang on, Pedro. We can talk about anything else you want after we get an answer to this because this is actually incredibly crucial. But just doing a little bit of, again, no expert, but doing a very small amount of research, I found why that photo completely disproves anybody that makes the claim space isn't real, the moon isn't real, the earth is flat, we never went to the moon. I know that answer and I'll give it to you, but I want to know why you think it was faked first. I want to know what you say to the people who would say it's totally real. We definitely had to go to the moon.
So what's your question again? I'm sorry.
There's a photo, a very famous photo
of
Neil Armstrong standing on the moon that was taken by a camera mounted onto one of the legs of the lunar module that landed in 1969 from the United States. We shot it up. It went to the moon. A picture got taken. I know why that picture completely 100% proves we went to the moon. What do you say? Mm-hmm. You say that it's fake. Why do you think it's fake?
Yeah. Well, because it could have easily be could have been done in a stage in a Hollywood studio
in
or
1969, Pedro. Hold up, in 1969.
Yeah. Yeah. Why not?
Because
why,
we didn't have the.
Why could it not be fake?
We didn't have the technology. We absolutely did not have CGI or cameras in any way, shape, or form like we do now. I know that seems hard to believe, but. In the early 70s,
there was no CGI in 69.
It wouldn't be invented for another 20 or 30 years. But in the early 70s, we have none of the cool awesomeness that we have today. But that
I know picture, I was there.
But that picture was created back then. So how would we create it if we don't have CGI? We couldn't have done it in a studio.
Well, it could have, but the thing is,
I know why we couldn't have. I'll tell you in a second.
You could use movie props. You could use movie props and different setups to recreate that. It doesn't always necessarily need to be CGI.
So the problem. So here's the reason.
Different angles.
Pedro, here's the reason why. I know this is a really nuanced thing, and you're gonna think, why does Elliot know this about lighting? But I live in an area where there's a lot of things that go on. Where people are required to go out and research lights and buy lights and set up lights. And they spend all of their time talking about lights. And it's confusing to me, but they love it. Those people absolutely have tried every single possible way, to recreate the shadows in that picture. And it is a physical impossibility until... the last decade in which we created white laser lights, basically, mm-hmm. these LEDs and so forth, mm-hmm. because the only way that we could have gotten those shadows in that picture was for us to either have literally a floor to ceiling wall of white LEDs, which would not exist
not
for decades.
Not in the 60s.
Or there is one other possibility. And it is that very far away, unencumbered by atmosphere, a large ball of hydrogen molecules were exploding constantly. Yeah. You get what I'm saying. Or the
hydrogen,
sun.
Hydrogen, helium.
Yeah, you get it. The sun.
Yttrium, vanadium.
So, hang on just a second, Pedro. We gotta shout out our awesome friend, Amit Matthew. Thank you so much for the $10. The conspiracy of everything. It's like the theory of everything, but way less useful. Thank you, Amit. We always appreciate people hanging out. Sorry. Go ahead, Pedro. Sorry about that.
Sure. So, I mean... I think about like the whole moon landing and stuff like that. I don't know if you remember how they had like a dune buggy up in the moon,
uh-huh.
but then they just forget to like put to account the size of the dune buggy and the size of like the space shuttle. And it's just like it just wouldn't fit. So it's like
how no, they left it on purpose.
You know,
they left the buggy on purpose. Buggy, you know? They left the buggy
no, I know,
on
but
purpose.
How did they get it there on the first place? If like the dimensions of like the shuttle would never fit a dune buggy that
it wasn't
size.
A shuttle.
So it's like how did they get it there?
It wasn't a shuttle. It was in a different.
Where he
Pedro,
said
was,
that,
hang on a second, like a horse, brother.
Elon Musk.
Hang on,
yeah,
Pedro. It was on a different spot. Have you ever seen the like classic rocket picture where it's like the shuttle
Saturn V?
Yeah, and then it's got like the big white tube in the middle and like two little orangey thin rockets, and then like after it explodes up and it starts like shooting all that fire and all that, it like drops some of that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
They do that on purpose. Like we just build it beforehand and we just put a like extra, it's almost like we put a kangaroo pouch on it and we're just like, yeah, that dune buggy will go right there.
Dune buggy sat behind the capsule itself, it mm-hmm. was behind in containment, along with other things that were in there mm-hmm. with it, like supplies and stuff.
Right.
So it was dropped before the capsule even landed.
Mm-hmm. Because they couldn't do it. They couldn't have landed. I mean, I guess they could have. It just was already mountains, literally mountains of paperwork. Yeah. I mean, have you ever seen those pictures of those incredible, incredible women that were like the computers at NASA back in the 60s, they had literal stacks and stacks and stacks of math that they did by hand. And I be honest, if they said, you know what, we've already done 700 pages of this math, we're not going to add a fucking dune buggy at this point, I wouldn't blame them. I mean, I get it. Like,
it's too much weight.
Yeah, right. But yeah, man, I mean, do you, I guess what upsets me a little bit is the idea that there's so many cool things out there in space, and honestly, so many problems. Like Neil and I said just kind of quickly earlier, like there's a lot of junk up there, you guys. Like there's lot of trash right now in space. Yeah, okay, okay. You got some thoughts on trash in space? Yeah, give it to us real quick, man.
Sure. So they always claiming to have like thousands and hundreds of like space junk and satellites mm-hmm. crashing.
Try millions.
Like and again, it's like, yeah, like you actually never like, why don't they turn, you know, like when you see other like NASA fake missions and stuff like that, like fake you never mission. See no space junk flying by or anything. Or like, why don't they turn the space, the Hubble telescope around and zoom into like some space junk? Like there's just never none of that.
The Hubble. Okay. Like, okay.
Yeah.
First of all,
Pedro, hang on.
Pedro,
you said a lot. Hang on, Neil.
The telescope, the Hubble anyway, yeah. Okay. Is not designed for that. Mm-hmm. It's designed for far reaching space, not right next to it. Mm-mm. But there are many, there are lots of video footage, I guess, from the from the space station itself, the ISS, that does show little mm-hmm. bits and pieces, because there's like bolts and screws and you name it floating around out there from all the shit that they let go when they're going out there, and bits and pieces that ultimately fall off of like satellites and mm-hmm. stuff like that. Okay, because they have to be aware of everything. There's actually programs on the ISS that keeps account of all of those things.
Yes,
because one of them goes through there, they're done. Mm-hmm. So they have to be aware of that stuff. It is definitely there. There's millions of pieces of that shit out there.
And there was a period mm-hmm. of time. It's been years and years. It could be over a decade and a half at this point, but there definitely was a period of time where some really not super great thinking people at NASA decided that it would be really fun to put out a live stream website where they track all of those junk satellites.
Yep, that's right.
And then they realized how huge of a security risk that would be. So they took it down immediately because, yeah, not every idiot with a rocket should know where all of the satellites are, right? I mean, you know, and so we do have really, really, really good information on this stuff. But I understand, like, a lot of it sounds fantastical. I mean, that's why Arthur C. Mm-hmm. Clarke said at this point, right? He's like, at this point, extremely advanced technology is synonymous with magic. I mean, I don't know how this whole internet thing works. I'm just assuming that it still mm-hmm. is, but, you know, it. Go ahead.
Sorry, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
I have a really good question.
Sure.
I have a really good question, and I'm interested to hear your guys' answer to this.
Okay.
It's a really good one. So another thing that, like, dismisses space being real and all of that stuff, it's because Earth is like an air bubble. So, because we have, like, the atmosphere, we have oxygen, and so on and so on.
Sure, yeah.
So then here on Earth, when you recreate a vacuum chamber, like you get like mm-hmm. plexiglass, like all four sides,
drill out more than plexiglass, dude.
High pressure vacuum, and suck it out, mm-hmm. and you create a vacuum in that vacuum chamber, and then you try to blow a bubble, it just bursts. Mm-hmm. So why is it that Earth's bubble doesn't burst? If we're surrounded by a vacuum chamber, or the vacuum of space all around us.
It's made from a different material than a bubble that you would blow into mm-hmm. a vacuum chamber.
That's one. Okay.
Yeah. It has multiple layers mm-hmm. on it. Okay.
I know an answer. It's very strange, but so a lot of people will say something similar to that, Pedro, and they'll say, well, why isn't all of our atmosphere leaking out? Well, it is, first off. It is.
Yeah,
right. Second off, there's actually a really, really cool meteorologist named Maddie. She has a channel called Science Side Up, and she has a bunch of videos where she talks about this in great detail. And basically, there's this really cool phenomenon. So have you ever mixed like oil and water together and like seen them separate?
Mm-hmm. I do it every day.
Do you know that also happens with gas? It also happens with all of this stuff hanging out with us right now. And the reason that we've got all of this gas hanging out down here at the lower level, there's a few different reasons. Like, for instance, plants and stuff are like constantly farting it out. That's the way I think of it.
We are plants,
cows, everybody farts. Yep. But that's part of it. But the other part of it is the fact that because there's more stuff in it, that mass is higher than some of that other gas. It's just affected more by the gravity.
That's right. And mass attracts mass.
Yeah. And so it's like a combination of a couple of different things. Cause Neil had a really good point right at the beginning, which is if you have a vacuum, if you have a container and there's a vacuum inside and you blow up a bubble, well, the bubble is actually made of something with gas inside of it. There's a thin layer around the outside of that bubble that is like soap and water and other stuff like that. And that's not actually analogous to the way that it works with the earth.
That's right.
Does that kind of clear it up a little bit? Again, I really would suggest an actual trained meteorologist, somebody that knows about atmospheric sciences. Yeah. So again, Science Side Up.
I can tell you the chemistry of the atmosphere, but
yeah, see, and I can tell you none of it. I can just pretend to look good.
Some elements are heavier than others, right? So they sit lower in the atmosphere than the other ones too. Yeah. There's like helium and hydrogen be way up, and then you know stuff like carbon or whatever. Well, carbon's not really a gas, but you know what I mean. The heavier the element, the lower it sits. That's why cold air will fall to the bottom of the floor and hot air will rise, because there's different mixes there. Right, so
does that kind of make sense, sure, or do you have some more questions?
No, I mean, I understand what you guys are trying to explain, but I just stick to what I know, and that's if you recreate a vacuum chamber here on Earth and you put air on it, it just gets sucked right out. Like, it's just we're in the middle of a even bigger and stronger vacuum chamber for our air.
Well,
not to get sucked out.
I don't think space is legit. Yeah, hang on. I don't think space is a true vacuum, is it?
It's not. It's not a true vacuum,
right? Like, it's as close as we seem to be able to get naturally without us doing our cool magic-y science, but it's not actually the same. Again, there is enough of a difference that we know about physically. Like, we know enough about physics to say there is a noticeable difference between a true vacuum and the vacuum of space. Right. And so that, I think that actually
it's called the vacuum of space.
Yeah. And then another thing that makes me kind of like, because everything is backwards, like everything that has to do with space and everything that it teaches about space is backwards, right? So, for example, like NASA has like an identical model of the ISS, and they submerged it underwater in a giant Olympic sized pool. And that's where they have their astronauts train, right?
But yeah, of course.
That doesn't really make sense. It doesn't make sense because, like, when you're underwater, it's water pressure, which is like basically it's gonna crush you. But when you go up in space, it's the opposite. It's pulling you apart. So it's kind of like saying, "I'm gonna go and train and fire for a place that is in water." It's like the complete opposite. It makes no sense. And the reason why they have the ISS is because, sure.
No, finish up. That sounded like it was the same point. Finish up real quick. I think Neil has a response.
Sure. So the point why they have the ISS underneath a giant Olympic-sized pool is because that's where they do most of the hoaxes. They just turn off the light, and you can't see the water. And then they probably have like a green screen next to the ISS, and they're able to like recreate like the whole high altitude ISS space thing. And
real quick,
the reason why there's a hashtag going on saying air bubbles in space because they were caught with like air bubbles because they knew that they were doing it underwater.
Real quick, Pedro, I just want to say this and I'll throw it back over to Neil because I think he has a good answer as to why they do those, you know, missions, you know, getting ready under the water. But just real quick, I want to say, again, not that I'm an expert, but when it comes to videography, there's no way, there's literally no way to shoot underwater in the same way that you shoot stuff in space. I just know that. Again, it's just, they couldn't do that and get the videos and stuff that we have. They just couldn't, especially the ones from the 70s. They just couldn't do it. They just couldn't. It's physically impossible. Go ahead, Neil.
The reason they do the training in water is because on this planet, it's the closest thing we can get to weightlessness.
Right. And that's, and they're ultimately going to have to wear all of these suits. They're ultimately going to have to wear all of this equipment that will help them get used to the equipment that they'll have to wear whenever they're up in space and not in an oxygen-rich environment like in the shuttle or in the space station or so forth. And so it's just a really quick, easy way to, like, I mean, I guess theoretically, they could build a building and then spin it at such an insane force, at such an insane rotation, that ultimately the centripetal force causes the people inside to feel weightless like those carnival rides. But I feel like that would be a lot. I feel like that would take a lot more effort than just asking nicely for the local Olympic-sized swimming pool to let you submerge a shuttle into it.
Well, they could use the puke.
Got it.
Well, yeah, they could do that.
Vomit,
they could.
The vomit comet, right? You know, where they filmed a lot of Apollo 13 or whatever.
But Pedro, I think Neil and I don't come to the same. Oh yeah, you got one more thing before we wrap up.
Well, Pedro, yourself were saying you tend to only go with what you know, which is, you said, which is great, and I think that's admirable. You can know more if you actually learn a little bit about this stuff. Yeah. There's tons of places you can go to find out about this stuff. Like, I would recommend maybe reading a little bit about Earth's atmosphere, how it works, the different levels of it, and stuff like this. So it's entirely up to you. I mean, you have the ability to do that, and the information is there. And but you know, a very good friend of ours is asking, what do you trust? Mm. See, the thing is you got to trust someone sometime, especially when there are people that are experts in the fields, right? Nobody becomes an expert in something because it's bullshit. They want to know more, so they learn and they become an expert in that field. So like aeronautics or in my case, chemistry, you know, stuff like that. And there are people that know what they're talking about because they've gone to school and they've done the work. And it's fascinating stuff. Dude, it's fascinating stuff.
Yeah.
So my advice to you is just go dig in a little bit, man. Dig in a little bit. And you might go, holy shit, okay, that's awesome. Now I understand a little bit more. Because the best way to find your way through the actual bullshit is through knowledge, man, and learning.
But Pedro, what you got for us before we let you go, man?
I used to be fascinated with space. I used to love everything that had to do with space. And when I actually woke up and realized that other things that they show us on TV is just CGI, none of it is real. It's all just like a bunch of cartoons.
Yeah, we've been over this.
I started waking up. I was like, are these space programs? Like, they have such beautiful colors, such beautiful things, but if it's not real, what's the point? And ever since that, I've been trying to search for the real thing, and I just get nothing but CGI.
Well, brother, we're gonna let you go, and I'm gonna wrap up here with Neil real quick. But again, man, thank you so much for hanging out with us. Okay.
Yeah. Thanks, Pedro.
You got it. Thank you for having me, guys. It's a pleasure always talking to you guys. And
well, it's a pleasure for us to
sharing with them and everything.
Call us back, man.
Get out there and investigate, my friend. Get out there and investigate. And that's half the fun.
Yeah. And I think I know kind of. I think I might be a mind reader, Neil. Let me see real quick. I think at the end there, you were kind of feeling this. you know, hey, we've discussed some of this, and we've tried to have kind of a dialogue and a move forward in all of our understandings. And mm-hmm. I don't know if we made as much progress as I would have hoped for. Right at the end, it sounded like he was still saying, you know, it's totally fake and it's not out there. And I want us to all remember that when we're having these dialogues, it's a good idea for us to continue to try and push for further investigation and mm-hmm. learn more. I mean, that's absolutely the whole freaking point.
The cure to ignorance is education.
Exactly, man. And I highly, highly value the fact that, you know, we definitely were on opposing sides there. I mean, we were definitely butting heads, but at the same time, I mean, we can do so cordially. And, you know, hopefully we can learn some more. And, you know, look, if space really is fake, I want to freaking know it, and I'll own up to it when I'm wrong. But
yeah, of course.
If I'm a betting man, I'm going to put my money on the space shuttle being a thing. How about you, man?
The space station, the ISS, if that's what you mean.
I've
watched it go over many times. So
yeah. Yeah.
And just a little shout out to my producer, actually, Mr. Mikey Famine, who's in the chat right now doing the hashtag coins. Mikey, it's the wrong show, buddy.
Woo!
Wrong show.
Mikey is, I have heard, a amateur astronaut. I think he's gone up into space a couple of times.
Amateur asshole.
Oh, my bad. I got the letters mixed up. It's a problem. But we have one more call, and I think this guy is
a friend of the show.
I've heard he's a handful. I don't know. He's big hands.
So it's okay.
Well, let's see. This is a longtime friend of ours that hangs out. Hey, Amit, how are you?
Hi. Hi, Neil.
Hey, Amit, how you doing?
A handful, huh?
yeah. That's what I've heard. I'm just telling
still
you.
Cracking up? Is that what's going on here?
what would you like to talk about today, brother, to help us end up our show?
Well, first I have to apologize to Neil. I left a terrible pun on his Twitter, and
I'm looking forward to it.
I will apologize. You already saw it, but yeah.
Anyway, I know what you mean. Yes. I know what you mean.
Anyway, I wanted to talk about something interesting that I've noticed ever since moving to America, which is a difference in what people will consider acceptable, or how the population kind of splits with regard to their belief in supernatural claims. For example, over here, if someone says I was abducted by aliens, they're more likely to be believed. However, if you go back to where I'm from in India, and you say, I was abducted by aliens, people are going to look at you funny. However, if you say, I was possessed by a demon or a ghost, you'll have a lot more people agreeing with you there. And I kind of just wanted to pick your brains about, why is it that there are so many alien abduction stories here and so many demon possession stories back in India?
Yeah, I can definitely say that. One thing I know, just being as a nerd in history, there are a really, really prominent and famous stories. There's a good handful of them that all happened around the same time, and they got really, really, really well known. And it wasn't for a long time that people just accepted them. And finally, we started looking into them and said, well, maybe this doesn't all fit. Also, there is the unfortunate choice of the United States government back in the 40s to blatantly lie to the public about this thing crashing in the middle of nowhere. And it was like, it was all scary and weird and nobody knows what it is. And then finally, the government's just like, well, we just put speakers up in the clouds because we wanted to know if the Russians were blowing up bombs. And it's like, well, why didn't you just fucking tell us? Like, come on.
Project Mogul.
So there's the Roswell incident, right? That's what I was just referencing there. That has a huge play in American psyche and culture. So
certainly does.
That definitely is part of it for sure. But yeah, what do you think, Neil?
No, Mikey, I don't live in the fields of BC. this very interesting little thing. Most of the abductions are usually people that are in their bed. It's night. They're probably were sleeping. So it's obviously a sleep paralysis issue because this actually, there have been reports throughout history, but they weren't always aliens. We had succubuses or demons that would visit you in the middle of the night because they would sit on their chest, or they thought they were sitting on their chest, and they would have visuals. It was all coming out of the brain, right? So it's just the modern day version of the same shit, but new pop culture or new cultural references.
Yeah.
Because none of them were aliens back in like 1760 something, but these were still going on, but they were thought of as either spirits or succubuses or whatever.
Yeah.
That were sitting on them and holding them down. But it's actually what we now know is sleep paralysis.
Yeah. And I think it's more than anything, it's just kind of the combination of those two things, you know? Just all kind of working together in this one section of the world, whereas it didn't exactly happen in on the subcontinent of India, didn't exactly happen in you know, Kenya, let's say, but America, we had some stuff, and then we had some specific events that happened, and then we had just kind of the normal human stuff that hits everybody. It's just that in India they said demons, and here we said aliens, right? Mm-hmm.
Yep, that makes sense. I'd be curious to pick the brains of some of the folks who call from the UK to see how whether they're more likely to believe in aliens or ghosts.
Yeah,
that's an interesting thought. It seems very unique to America.
Absolutely, it does, man.
Well, the UK did have a big UFO thing. I can't remember what it was called, but there were two soldiers that saw something inside the woods.
Right,
you know.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, and we do UFO share a lot of media. I mean, when it comes to like movies and TV shows, the UK and the United States and Canada. I mean, we all have kind of a big melting pot. We just throw all of our stuff into and take a look at. But
that's what I love about it here.
That's great. It's great. I love it. USA. Sorry. But
all the humans.
Amit.
No, Canada, man.
I have done a bad job of doing this throughout the show. Okay. So before we let you go, I'm going to ask you a question. Do you know what we do after this show? Do you know where we go, Amit? Can you tell all the lovely folks watching what's happening right after this show ends?
Yes. There is a rumored Discord where all these cool people in the chat and the hosts all go to hang out.
He's
and
cool
apparently they discuss the real conspiracy of what's going on behind the scenes in this show, where we're just trying to, you know, hide the fact that the earth is actually flat.
You heard it. Woo! You heard it, folks. If you want the truth, you gotta come hang out with us in the Discord after show. We'll be doing it right after we get off here. So,
and here's one for you too, just before we close out here. My very good friend Mikey pointed out Stonehenge. He put that in. We found out what Stonehenge actually is. It's the toes of the bodies of the heads that you fight see on Easter Island.
That makes so much
sense. Actually, their toes sticking out.
I don't think there's any better answer. That makes really good sense, man. I'm glad
I've seen the diagram on the internet. You. It's got to be true.
Well, Amit, we always appreciate you hanging out with us, man.
Yep. Talk to you folks later.
All right. See you, brother. Neil, I had a good time. Did you have a fun time?
Yeah, I did, actually.
You can yell at me about it afterwards if you want.
No, I love doing this. I was going to actually talk to Ethan. I said I could probably do this once a month if you'd want to have me on once a month.
Ooh, that's good to know. Yeah. We could arrange like a set Tuesday.
That way I just won't schedule on that specific Tuesday every month.
Right? I think that's a good idea.
I do too.
Yeah, so for those watching, we do need to get more callers. We have some really good weeks where the lines are filled, and then we have some weeks like this where we have like just three callers. So
let me consult the tarot cards.
How you could help us is if you have friends or family or even people on your Facebook that believe, you know, aliens have visited us, believe in God, you know, have some conspiracy theories they believe.
Picking up radio signals in their braces.
Like anything. Refer them to this show or refer them to me directly. Like, see if they're interested and then get in contact with me and I can arrange it with them on Facebook. But yeah, we need to increase the call volume and I could use your help with that. That way the hosts are not forced to vamp and we can take more calls throughout each episode. My favorite episodes are the ones where we get like the variety, where we get like one alien call, one ghost call, and one God call. Those are the best. And that is the overall goal of this show, is to just provide variety and it not be the same tired religious arguments over and over.
Right.
And over
again. Right. I think we had a couple of good callers tonight. We had a flat earther or a space isn't real, you know, sort of thing, or the moon landing stuff, and which are great to tackle. But in situations where we have callers that call in about that, it would be hella handy to have somebody like that's actually in that field to deal with it. Because I only know so much. And you know, Elliot only knows so much too, right? So
I wouldn't even say it's that much. I would say like it's like not even much. I would just say I know some things. But
no, I can tackle stuff when it comes to neuroscience because I'm actually doing the Great Courses Plus for neuroscience right now.
So what a great place.
You guys did do really well. So Thank you. During that space call, like greatly handled. Neil, are you able to make the Discord after party, after show?
Sure. I'm going to take a bit of a break, but I can pop in after that. Yeah.
Awesome. Well, yeah. I want to real quickly thank our top tier patrons. Cindy Plaza, Left, Right, Left, Kenneth Leonard, Sky, Jump and Shoot, Oz, Secular Rarity, Philip Leach, Caitlin Beyond, Toast, Richard Gilliver, Sunset Sarge, Meet Matthew, Ray Sylvester, and Kyle Brewer. Thank you so much for your patronage. And if you like what I do, consider becoming a patron for as low as $1 a month. And if you can't become a patron, share this video, put it on your Facebook, your Twitter, do whatever you can to help out. If you don't mind. That's all I got. Neil, the links to your show are in the description of video. Secular Rarity, you can check out on... Well, he makes appearances.
There's a great place. Yeah, right. This is a great place. If you want to find me online, I guess you can. But go check out Neil's stuff and come
in. He likes to jump in my after parties every once in a while.
That's true.
There you go. You could check him out at the Neil 604 after parties. Everyone, thanks for joining us. And we'll see you in the Discord after show in 5 minutes. Good night.